Jesus. You spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, I heard your billion galaxies are born in the vapor. Stars were made to worship so loud. I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises so
speak. 100 church. Thank you for joining us this morning. Those who are here in service and those who are watching, we welcome you to stand and worship this morning with us and give God praise. I dare you to shout out a praise in advance before we get to singing. Come on.
questioned it all, still you remain. Chased empty dreams, ran from your call, and turned back again. There's no other treasure on earth that amounts to your love, and I know even if everything I know is taken away, I won't lose hope. I'll cling to the one who won't let go.
to Ascend Church this morning, family. How good to see you. And you know, we're singing about the name of Jesus. We're singing about the power of Jesus. And Pastor Steve's beginning a series on the power of prayer over the next few weeks. And we believe in the power of prayer. Amen. We believe that prayer produces results. If we had all day, we would just go around the room and we would hear stories of the answers to prayer. And so we're going to take a time right now. We have one more song we're going to sing. It's the most beautiful song. It's like singing Psalm 91. Just read the words, follow the words, sing along. It's such a declaration of faith and trust in God. But as we sing that final song, our prayer team are going to come and line up at the front. And if you need prayer for anything, maybe you're even here for the first time, but you just say, I'd like somebody to pray for me. While we're singing this last song, just slip out and come to the front, and we want to pray for you because we believe that God hears and answers prayer. Amen. So we're going to sing this final song called Shelter In. And if you need prayer, just slip out and come down to the front. Thank you.
My God, in whom I trust, I take care.
want you to give him a shout of praise in this place this morning. That this is what our God has declared over us. That he will shelter us. He will cover us. He is there for us. Delivers us. No harm shall come near us. Come on, somebody, and worship him today in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. We take refuge in you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Hallelujah. Say,
and I find you're my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And I take shelter in your name. Amazing grace, mighty. I find refuge in your love. Oh, you're my
you know my name, El Shaddai.
Come on.
I hear you say,
sing it out.
Cause you know my name, El Shaddai is near, Elohim is.
Now seal it with your praise in this room. Seal it with your praise and faith in this room.
There's nothing more faith-building than singing the Word of God, than reading what God says and taking it to be truth in your life. That means that if 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, the Word says it will not come near you. When we're singing that, we're declaring, we're saying, I'll say of the Lord, He is to me. This is what He is to me. This is what He is to my household. That's how we apply our faith to the Word of God. Amen. So praise God. So good to see you in church today. Why don't you just turn and greet someone. Tell them how good they look today, and you may be seated. Thank you. Welcome to Ascend Church. So glad you're in church today. I love that I get to get up on the platform and just have a look at who's here. I don't believe you're here by accident. This is, you know, for those who are church members here, I expect to see you. But those that are visiting, we're so glad you came. I hope you get everything you need out of the service today. I want to welcome those that are watching online. So glad you're joining us today, and we especially want to speak to our Ascend Church members. We miss you. We'd love to see you in church. If you're staying away for anything other than health reasons, come back to church. We would appreciate it. We want to see your lovely faces. Father, we pray for Gloria. She's fighting pneumonia. Father, I just release the healing power of God to flow into her body right now, even as she watches the service online. Thank you that she begins to heal, that from right now her health and strength recover moment by moment in Jesus' name. Amen. So welcome to those that are watching online. Just take a seat, get comfortable, and watch us. I want to welcome everybody who's visiting us for the first time. I see a number of new faces, and we love having visitors in our church, don't we? Come on. We do. I know you do. I've seen you. And so if you are here for the first time, I don't know, maybe someone invited you, or maybe you just saw the signs and decided to come. We're glad that you're here. Like I said, I don't believe it's ever by accident. You know, sometimes we think that we're just making choices and going somewhere, and we look back and you're like, gee, the Lord was really directing my footsteps. I pray that you hear exactly what it is you need to hear this morning from the Lord. And if you're here for the first time, would you just wave your hand? Our ushers have a visitor pack. We'd like to just give it to you. God bless you. We have lots of visitors over there and over here as well. So glad that you're here with us today. And there's a couple of things in that bag. One is this card, just to let you know a little bit about our church. And it'll tell you a couple of things. One, it'll tell you the different ways that you can find resources, find messages that you could watch of previous weeks, watch the services. There's our Ascend Church app. There's ascendchurch.us. That's our website. There's YouTube, which is Ascend Church Jupiter, Facebook, Ascend Church Jupiter, and you're welcome to access any of our messages on those, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And there's also in that bag, there's a white card that says guest. Just please take a moment and fill that out. It just gives Pastor Steve an opportunity to call you and find out how you enjoyed the service. So at the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop that guest card in, and we just love to say hi to you after the service. We thank you for doing that. Let's give them another round of applause. Thank you for being in church with us this morning. And lastly, I just want to, those that are watching online, go ahead and check in on Facebook. Let us know where you're watching from, or if you're on YouTube, go ahead and share the live stream pages. It always reaches out to people. You never know who needs this message today, so share it. We appreciate that. And just to remind you of the four purposes of our church, we have it in our visitor card as well. The first one is, these are the four main purposes of this church. First of all, that you would know God. So every week, everything you hear, everything that happens is to help us to grow in our knowledge and experience of God. Second of all, that you would find freedom in every area of your life. We got testimony after testimony of lives being set free from all kinds of things. Thirdly, that you would discover your purpose. And fourth, that you would make a difference with your life. So that's our four main purposes. And we're looking forward to the Word of God this morning. Pastor Steve has been, he always prays and lets the Lord lead him. But he had been feeling this prompting towards teaching on prayer. And it's going to go a few weeks, and I'm excited. I said to him this morning, which aspect are we going for today? He's like, you just have to wait and find out. So I'm going to wait and find out. Thank you, my dear.
Praise the Lord. I'm just sharing the Facebook live stream.
Don't
I'm sharing it on my page.
You.
I'm sharing
Don't
on my page.
You.
So if you haven't done that, go ahead and share the live stream on Facebook. Share it on your page. Let's see how many people we can reach. What do you say? You never know who's going to watch that. You never can tell. Easiest way in the world to share the gospel is just share this live stream of this service on your Facebook. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. I know that we've got some new folks here today, and we're so glad you're here. Would you mind waving at me one more time if it's your first time? Your first time. Wave at me one more time. We're so glad you're here. Praise the Lord. And we've got great news, an important announcement that I want to tell you. I want to ask Monique and Joseph, would you mind standing up for me? This may be, when the Lord does a work, He does a quick work. You might wait years and years, and then suddenly the Lord does a quick work. Monique and Joseph are getting married next Sunday. Now, so what's happening next Sunday, and they've known each other for a number of years, and they've reconnected, they work together, and we went out and had dinner together, and they're just not wasting any time about it. And so next Sunday, after the service, we're going to have their wedding. And if you've never been to one of my weddings, or you're welcome to stay. It'll only take about 25 minutes. My wedding's about 20, 25 minutes. And we're going to do it right after the service next Sunday. Amen? And so that's next Sunday. Monique and Joseph are getting hitched next Sunday. And we're having food. Are you doing that, Deanne? We're having a full-on spread. The blessing angels. That's our team of ladies that do all kinds of things, right? And they're going to be catering for the wedding. Wonderful. Anyone else want to get married next week? We can make it a twofer. Praise the Lord. Doesn't our worship team do a wonderful job every Sunday? Give them a big round of applause. We've got Muff on the drums, Abel on the bass guitar, Dave on the lead guitar, and Kelly on the piano. They do a wonderful job. All of our singers, we appreciate you. In fact, all of our servant leaders, everyone who serves and volunteers, we appreciate you. in our children's church, our ushers, our greeters, our worship team, our media department, goodness me. We couldn't do it without you, and we really appreciate you. Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, that you are so good to us, Lord. We thank you for our family of faith. We thank you for your presence here today. Lord, you said if any two will gather together and in my name, that you are there in the midst of them. And we thank you that you are in our midst. We honor you, Lord. We worship you. We praise you. I thank you, Lord, for your word today. I thank you that as I speak your word, that you anoint me, Lord, and that you bring understanding and you bring revelation. I thank you, Lord, that we'll not be the same today, but your word will change us today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise for everything said and done. Amen. You agree with that? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, wherever you may be watching from, we're so glad you're watching today. I'm Steve Barry. I'm the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter. And you may be watching this on Facebook or YouTube or on our website or on our mobile app, wherever you're watching it from. We're so glad you are today. I'm starting a new series today that's called How to Pray. When I say new, I've spoken about prayer before, but it's been quite a few years. And a few weeks ago, Gloria, one of our members, Gloria, is not here today. She's at home with pneumonia, and we thank you, Lord, for restoring Gloria's health. But she came to me a few weeks ago, and she said, Pastor Steve, please would you teach about prayer? And so I thought about it, and I was praying about it, and as I was reading my Bible, I read this scripture, which I'll share with you, and it just popped out at me, and it's like the Lord spoke to me. And I went back, and I do this often when I preach. I go back, and I look at what I've spoken on. I keep record of it, and I go back and look, when did I last preach about prayer? And I've preached a couple of, maybe once a year on praying in the Spirit, and I've preached maybe one time on asking God. But I'm going to do like a thorough series starting this morning that you'll walk out of here, not today, because I can't do it all in one session, but over the next few weeks, you're going to learn how to pray. You're going to learn how. You see, the reason why I think a lot of people don't pray is they really don't know how. And when you know how to pray, it is life-changing. So this is part number one of our series, How to Pray. And I want to start out with why pray. That's the title of today's message, is why pray. I also want to just say to Jennifer's dad, she just found out he passed away this morning. Why don't you stretch your hands toward Jennifer? Let's pray for Jennifer. Lord, we pray for Jennifer. We thank you. You are the God of all comfort. We thank you for comforting Jennifer and strengthening her, and that your peace will fill her heart and fill her mind. We know, Lord, that her father knew you, and we're so glad that we know where he is. We know that he's with you, and we know that we'll see him again, Lord, and we just entrust him into your care, and we just thank you, Lord. We pray for Jennifer, her family, her sisters. We just thank you that you're the God of all comfort, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So to get back to our teaching on how to pray, the scripture I was reading when I was reading my Bible the other day is 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse number 7. And it says this. It says, since we are approaching the end of all things. Now, they said that 2,000 years ago. How much closer are we to the end of all things now than they were 2,000 years ago? How many of you can notice we're in the last days? Let me let you in on a secret. We are approaching the end of all things. It says, so since we're approaching the end of all things, be intentional, be purposeful, and be self-controlled so that you can be given to prayer. Do you know that God wants us to be given to prayer? He wants you to give yourself to prayer. And the contemporary English version says, be sensible enough to pray. Be sensible enough to pray. And I looked up the word sensible. And it says sensible is, it means a course of action that is chosen in accordance with wisdom and likely to be of benefit. To be sensible is to use wisdom. In other words, if you don't pray, you're not being sensible. You're not being wise. The opposite of wise is stupid. So don't be stupid. Give yourself to prayer. Say, I'm not going to be stupid. I'm going to be sensible. I'm going to give myself to prayer. Now, why should you do that? Why do you need to pray? Well, first of all, the first reason is because God commands us to pray. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. And the New Living Translation says, never stop praying. And the Living Bible says, always keep on praying. And the Good News Translation says, pray at all times. This isn't a suggestion. It says, never stop praying. Pray without ceasing. This is a commandment. In fact, Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, and he said to him, be faithful in prayer. So the first reason we pray is simply because God told us to. That should end it right there. God commanded us to. Secondly, prayer develops intimacy with God. The more you pray, the more you develop intimacy with God. Christianity is about having a relationship with Jesus. God created you for a relationship. Say, God created me for a relationship. Being a Christian means to make Jesus the Lord of your life and to know Him personally, to follow Him. And in order to have a relationship with God, you've got to spend time fellowshipping with the Lord. And when you spend time praying regularly, you develop an intimacy with God where you come to know Him and you come to know His voice and you come to recognize His direction in your life. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You were called into the fellowship of His Son. The dictionary says the word fellowship means companionship, or it means meaningful communication for building trust. We have been called into a relationship with Jesus and to fellowship with Jesus, and that means companionship, and that means that we've got to have meaningful communication to develop that relationship. Prayer is a two-way communication. I talk to God, and He talks to me. You know, I've been reading the book of Revelation recently, and it's really sobering. And I read Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, and this is, you see, the Apostle John had one revelation. You might hear sometimes people say the book of Revelations with an S. It's not. It's the book of Revelation. It's one revelation that John had. We saw into heaven. He saw the end times. And in Revelation 3, he said, write the following to the messenger of the congregation in Sardis, for these are the words of the one who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know all that you do, and I know that you have a reputation for being alive, but actually you're dead. He said, wake up and strengthen all that remains before it dies, for I have found your works. I haven't found your works to be perfect in the sight of my God. Remember all the things you've received and heard, then turn back to God and obey them. It appears that he's talking to people that had kind of gone away from the Lord, and he says, you need to turn back to God and obey him, for if you continue to slumber, I will come to you like a thief, and you'll have no idea at what hour I will come. Yet there are still a few in Sardis who have remained pure, and they walk in fellowship with me in brilliant light, for they are worthy. Now, he's talking about the importance in these last days. Jesus is coming back for those who are in fellowship with him. Don't tell me where you were 20 years ago. You see, you've got to maintain that relationship and fellowship with God. So the Apostle John is talking about those that had a relationship with God. They spent time fellowshipping with the Lord. The Bible says Enoch in the Bible, he walked in such close fellowship with God that God took him to heaven. It says that in Genesis 5, verse 23, Enoch was 65 years old when his son Methuselah was born, and afterwards he lived another 365 years, in fellowship with God. And he produced sons and daughters, and then when he was 365 and in constant touch with God, he disappeared, for God took him. He had such close fellowship with the Lord that the Lord's like, I'm taking you to heaven. That's what the scripture says. It says Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God. When God destroyed the human race with the flood because the wickedness of man was so great on the face of the earth, the scripture tells us God saved Noah because Noah pleased the Lord. And God said this about Noah in Genesis 6, verse 9. He said, Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Why did God save Noah from the flood? Because he walked in fellowship with God. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians 3 verse 10. He said, my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and more intimately acquainted with him. Paul said, my determined purpose is I want to know him. I want to become progressively more deeply and more intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Can I tell you something? The more you get to know Jesus, the more you'll be amazed at the wonders of his person, the more you'll be amazed at how great and how awesome he is. You'll never get to a point where you're never going to continue to grow and realize how amazing Jesus is. And the Apostle Paul, he said, all I want to do is to become progressively more intimate with the Lord. Another translation says, all I want is to know Christ. You know, after knowing the Lord for decades, I mean, the Apostle Paul was used by God as few people have been. I mean, he wrote more than half of the New Testament. And yet here he is at the end of his life saying, all I want is to know God. I want to know Jesus more intimately. I want to become progressively more acquainted with him. It's knowing Jesus that matters. And that means having a relationship with Jesus. That's what matters. And the Apostle Paul prayed for us in Ephesians 1:7, and he said, I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. Paul said, I pray that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him through your deepening intimacy with him. You see, we should continually be coming to know the Lord a little bit better than we knew him yesterday. Are you with me? We should pray this prayer for ourselves. Lord, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation that I may know you better. We got to have the same attitude Paul has. Our lifelong pursuit is to know God better through intimate fellowship with him. And that's why it's so important to spend time in prayer. The scripture says in 2 Peter 1 verse 8, since these virtues are already planted deep within you and you possess them in abundant supply, they will keep you from becoming inactive or fruitless in your pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ more intimately. He speaks about your pursuit of knowing Jesus more intimately. The 2 Peter 3 verse 18 says, continue to grow and increase in God's grace in intimacy with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Continue to grow in intimacy with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It has been said that Christianity is not a religion, but it's a personal relationship with a living God. And relationships require deliberate effort, don't they? I mean, how do you get to know your friend? How do you get to know your wife? By spending time with them. How silly would it be if I talked to everybody about my best friend, but I never actually talked to my best friend? I bet that best friend won't stay a friend for very long. In fact, that friend would probably say to you, you don't really know me. You just know about me. You never spend any time with me. Amen. There's a lot of Christians that know about God, but they don't really know him because they never spend time talking to him. The more time you spend in fellowship with Jesus, the more time you spend praying, the more intimately you will know him. And God wants you to fellowship with him. I mean, he wants to fellowship with you. Let me tell you, more than any earthly father or mother wants to spend time with their children. And if there's anything that we love more than probably anything in the world, it's getting to spend time with our kids. Let me tell you, your heavenly father loves to spend time with you. He loves when you come into his presence. He loves when you come and you pray and you call on him. The scripture says in 1 John 1 verse 3, we are telling you about what we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you may share the fellowship and the joy we have with the Father and Jesus, his Son. You see, when you fellowship with God in prayer, you talk to God and he begins to talk to you. You become intimate with him. You begin to learn his voice. You begin to hear his direction. Are you listening to me, church? Prayer is talking to God. And it's the greatest Christian privilege. But we might as well admit that it's our greatest Christian failure. Prayer is so vital to our Christian life. If we want to know God and if we want to impact our world, prayer is where it all begins. Jesus set the example for us. I mean, he's the perfect, sinless Son of God, and yet he prayed all the time. Jesus was given to prayer. The scripture says in Mark 1, verse 35, Jesus got up long before the daylight, and he left the house while it was still dark, and he made his way to a secluded place. Why? To give himself to prayer. Jesus was given to prayer. In Matthew 14, 23, when the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so that he could be by himself and pray. And he stayed there alone late into the night. In Luke 6, verse 12, one day, soon afterwards, he went out into the mountains to pray. And he prayed all night long. Have you ever prayed all night long? One, two. He prayed all night long, Jesus. Luke 5, verse 16, it says, Jesus often slipped away from them and went into the wilderness. Why? To pray. Jesus developed intimacy with his Father through prayer. That's how Jesus knew what his Father wanted him to do and what his Father wanted him to say. Because Jesus said in John 5, 19, he said, I tell you the truth, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father do. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. And he said in John 12, verse 49, I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. Jesus said, I just say what my Father tells me to say. And I just do what my Father tells me to do. Well, where did the Father tell him to do it? All that time he was praying and seeking God, that's where he heard what the Father wanted him to do and what the Father wanted him to say. If Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who was without sin, needed to pray, how much more do you and I not be needed? We need to be given to prayer. We need to spend time praying and seeking God. Amen. Come on, clap your hands if you agree with that. See, when you begin to pray, you begin to recognize God's voice guiding you. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. In Luke 18, verse 1, one day Jesus taught his disciples to keep on praying and never stop praying. In Matthew 6, verse 5, Jesus said, when you pray, he didn't say if. He said, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing on the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. I'm not praying to impress anybody. I'm praying because I want to develop intimacy with God. He said, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Jesus said you need to go into your room and you need to shut the door and you need to pray to your Father in secret, and the Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. See, you can talk to the Lord throughout the day. I know Jesse the Plantis, you know, he goes riding on his motorcycle. He says, come on, Jesus, let's go for a ride on my motorcycle. Andre Bronkhorst, he and Jesus go to the movies. He'll go to the movies about Jesus, a popcorn by himself, a Diet Coke. He go to movies with Jesus. And it's fine to talk to the Lord during the day. I talk to the Lord throughout the day. But you also need to draw aside and get in a private place where you have no distractions and seek God in prayer every day. The third reason why you want to pray is prayer gives you strength. Prayer gives you strength. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And it says in Matthew 26, verse 40, then he returned to the disciples, he found them asleep, and he said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray. So he's talking about praying, saying, couldn't you pray for even 1 hour. Now we think, wow, an hour. Oh, how could God ever expect me to pray for an hour, a whole hour? And Jesus says, couldn't you pray even for 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The Living Bible says, keep alert and pray, otherwise temptation will overpower you. The New Century Version says, stay awake and pray for strength against temptation. The spirit wants to do what's right, but the body is weak. How many of you know we all have this struggle between the spirit and the flesh? Do you know that prayer gives you the strength to be able to overcome the temptations of your flesh? Prayer strengthens you. Amen. Jesus didn't think it was a big deal to pray for 1 hour. He said if they prayed, they would have strength. Hebrews 12, verse 12 says, so be made strong, even in your weakness, by lifting up your tired hands in prayer and worship. Do you want to be made strong and you're feeling weak? Lift up your hands and begin to worship God and begin to pray and begin to call on the Lord, and you will be supernaturally strengthened. Those who wait upon the Lord, they will rise up with wings like eagles. Prayer gives you strength to overcome temptation and weakness. Number four, prayer releases God's power in your life. In James chapter 5, verse 13, it says, are there any believers in your fellowship who are suffering great hardship and distress? Encourage them to pray. Are you suffering great distress? I encourage you to pray. It says, are there any sick among you? Then ask for the elders of the church to come and pray over the sick and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and if they've committed sins, they'll be forgiven. Confess and acknowledge how you have offended one another, and then pray for one another to be instantly healed, for tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. Say, when I pray, tremendous power is released in my life. It says Elijah was a man with human frailties just like all of us, but he prayed and he received supernatural answers. He actually shut up the heavens over the land so there would be no rain for 3.5 years, and then he prayed again. And the skies opened over the land so that the rain came again and produced the harvest. Now that is telling us that prayer releases tremendous power. It releases God's power in your life. Prayer brings supernatural answers in your life. Why? Because God responds to prayer. God answers prayer. He said in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. In 1 Peter 3, verse 12, it says, the eyes of the Lord rest upon the godly, and his heart responds to their prayers. Say, God responds to my prayers. Say, when I pray, God answers me. The Amplified Bible says his ears are attentive to their prayer. God's ears, say God's ears, are attentive to my prayer. In in the book of Acts, an angel appeared to a man named Cornelius. He was an Italian centurion. And the angel appeared to him in Acts chapter 10, verse 4, and he said, all of your prayers and all of your generosity to the poor have ascended before God as an eternal offering. He said, your prayers and your giving has come up before God, and I have come to you because of your prayers. In fact, the Message Bible says your prayers have brought you to God's attention. Do you know that when you pray, you get God's attention? God hears and responds to our prayers. Prayer changes things, and prayer changes you. Prayer changes you. Number five, why should I pray? Because it's a commandment to pray? Because it develops intimacy with God? Because it gives you strength, because it releases tremendous power, and because that prayer is a mighty weapon against the enemy. Let me tell you, we're in a spirit. Do you know you're in a spiritual warfare? I said, you are in a spiritual warfare. You have an enemy who is opposing you. But God has given you mighty weapons to overcome every attack of the enemy, and prayer is one of these weapons. We see this in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's telling us we have a spiritual enemy. There are demon spirits that are trying to oppose us. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your waist girded with a belt of truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And it says, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. When you speak out God's word, that's like you cut those demonic powers with the sword of the Spirit. And then it says in verse 18, once you got on your helmet, you got on your breastplate, you got your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you got your shield up, you got your sword of the Spirit. It says, then pray with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He says, put on all this armor of God and then pray. Do you know that prayer is a weapon God has given you to be able to overcome every attack of the enemy against you? You got to pray. Let me read the Message translation. It says, God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you. Well-made weapons of the best materials. Put them to use so you'll be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no weekend war that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is a for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all of his angels. It says, be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get. Every weapon God has issued. So when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than just words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. And it says, in the same way, God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Prayer is essential in this spiritual warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Prayer is essential. Let me tell you, whether you realize it or not, you're in a spiritual warfare. Those things that you're feeling, those days you feel discouraged, it's a spiritual attack against you. And you got to know God's given you weapons, and one of them is being able to pray, because when you pray, God hears and God changes things. Prayer is an essential weapon if you want to have victory in the spiritual warfare. Another translation of Ephesians 6 says, use every kind of prayer and every kind of request there is. It says, use every kind of prayer. Do you know that there are different kinds of prayer? I said, do you know there's different kinds of prayer? One reason people don't pray is because they don't really know how to. But I'm going to teach you over the next few weeks 10 different kinds of prayer. And as you become familiar with these different kinds of prayer, you'll know the right way to pray depending on the situation that you're in. See, there's different kinds of prayer, and each kind of prayer has its own set of rules. Just like there's different kinds of sport, and they each have their own rules. You can't try and play baseball on the rules of football. You can't play basketball on the rules of baseball. And the reason why a lot of prayers, of people's prayers, don't get answered is because they don't understand the principles that govern prayer, and they don't pray according to biblical, you know, laws. So here's the 10 kind of prayers we're going to get through, not today, but this is the 10 different ways of praying. Number one, there's the prayer of fellowship. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, the prayer of fellowship. Number two, there's the prayer of worship and thanksgiving. Then number three, the prayer of consecration. Then number four, there's the prayer of petition. That's when you're asking God to do something for you. Then there's the prayer of committal, the prayer of agreement, the prayer of binding and loosing, praying in the Spirit, the prayer of intercession, and united prayer. We're going to go through those over the next few weeks. Now, I'm going to get through these first three, the prayer of fellowship. That's the first one I'm going to speak about, the prayer of fellowship. We've spoken today about the importance of fellowshipping with God. And fellowship means to have meaningful communication that builds trust. So fellowshipping with God, this kind of prayer, it's you're not asking God for anything. You're just talking to God. God made you to fellowship with you. And so this is where I'm not asking God to do anything. I'm just talking to him. I'm just worshiping him. The scripture says in Philippians 4 verse 6, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Tell your neighbor, don't worry about a thing. What's that song? Don't you worry about a thing. That's a biblical song right there. Don't you worry about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. You see, fellowship prayer is just talking to the Lord. Now, when you pray and you talk to the Lord, listen to me now. You always want to pray from a perspective of faith. In other words, you can tell the Lord what you're facing, but don't do it in a negative and a doubtful way, because that is not pleasing to God. Instead of saying, Lord, man, I'm facing this big problem. It's going to be the end of me. There's no way I can overcome it. Please help me, Lord. If you don't help me, I'm sunk, Lord. And then the next day, nothing happens. God, why aren't you helping me, Lord? You know how desperate. You know how much I need you. I don't know what I'm going to do, Lord. Why me, Lord? Why me? No. Rather pray like this. When I talk to the Lord, Lord, you know I'm facing this big problem. It looks overwhelming to me. I don't know what to do, but Lord, I know you're bigger. I know, Lord, you cause everything to work for my good. You see, that's how you talk to God. Are you with me? You got to remember who you're talking to. You're talking to someone who loves you, cares for you, and there's nothing too great for him. You don't want to be telling God, oh, Lord, I've got such a big problem. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know who you're talking to? Rather be saying, Lord, I'm facing this problem. I'm feeling overwhelmed, but Lord, I thank you, you're with me. I thank you, you're bigger. I thank you, you're taking care of this. Are you with me? So the first kind of prayer is just talking to God, fellowshipping with the Lord. You get up in the morning, good morning, Lord. I worship you. Thank you for this day. Thank you, you're guiding me. Thank you, you're with me. You can just talk to the Lord. The second kind of prayer is the prayer of worship and thanksgiving. I find that a lot of my time fellowshipping with the Lord involves a lot of thanksgiving and worship. I find I spend a lot of time giving thanks to God. I don't just give thanks to God for the things he's done. I do give thanks to God for what he's done. But I give thanks to God for what I believe he's doing right now. Are you with me? So like our house, I mean, thank God. We had our house up for sale. We sold our house. We got a cash offer within a couple of weeks. And then we took it off the market, and then one day before inspection, they canceled the deal, and it fell through. So our house had now been off the market for a few weeks, so we had to put it back on the market. In the meantime, when we got the cash offer, we were intending on renting, but I felt the Lord lead me other way, and I started looking at some condos because we want to downsize. We've been in a house for 20 years. Our kids have all grown up, and so I looked at a couple of condos, and we found this condo. I looked at three condos in one day. It was the last one, and we both, when we saw it, were like, this is the one we want. It's in North Palm Beach. So we put in an offer, and we put an offer in. It was just a few days, and they accepted it. Then our house sale fell through. So here we're sitting now. We're under contract on the condo. We really want it, and so now we ended up taking a lower price on our house, and it wasn't a cash sale. It was dependent on them getting a loan and on appraisal, and they wanted a 90-day closing. I mean, all these things. So we didn't have much options, so we took it, and we've been trusting God the whole time. Because first of all, we had to get through inspection, and then we came through inspection that, you know, they wanted some money off for things that needed to be done, and we worked that out. And then the next step was appraisal. If our house didn't appraise, the deal would fall through. So what did we do? I don't say, oh God, what am I going to do if this doesn't work? Oh God, what am I going to do? You know what I do? Lord, I want to thank you that you're working this out for me. I want to thank you, Lord, that you cause everything to work for our good. That's what I kept saying. Lord, I want to thank you that you're working this out. Everything works for my good. I want to thank you. Lord, I'm casting this in your hands. I find a lot of my prayer time is thanking God. And can I tell you that God loves it when you are grateful, when you are thankful. God delights in that. Just like when you have children, you don't want your children to only call you when they want something. How would you like the only time you ever hear from your kids is when they want something? No, sometimes you want them to call you and just say, hi, Dad, how you doing? Thanks for all you've done for me my whole life, Dad. In Matthew 6, verse 9, it's Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 9, in this manner pray. This is the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught them how to pray. He said, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Notice Jesus starts out. He says, this is how you should pray. And the first thing he says is, Father, hallowed be your name. He starts out with worship. I would encourage you to include worship in your prayer time. David said in Psalm 95, let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing songs of praise to him. Come before him with thanksgiving. Worship and thanksgiving gets God's attention. I always start out my prayer time. When I start praying, I always start out worshiping God. Father, I just want to worship you today. I just want to praise you. You are so good, Lord. You are so great. You are so faithful. You are so holy. You are so merciful. You are so mighty. There's no one like you, Lord. That's how I start out. Before I ask God for anything, I worship him. I put on some worship music, like we sang today. And I put it in the background. I've got my playlist of my worship songs. And I put it on my little Alexa speaker. And I put on that worship. I start worshiping God. Sometimes I'll take the Psalms and I'll read the Psalms to the Lord. Like I'm reading a love song. Like I'm reading a poem. Take some of David's Psalms where he magnified God. Amen. You know, sometimes the only kind of prayer that some people are familiar with is the prayer of petition. That's when we're asking God for something. We're asking God to do something for us. And listen, that's biblical. I'm going to talk about that next week. God wants you to ask him. He wants, the Bible says you don't have what you want because you don't ask God. God wants you to ask. He wants to answer, but that's not all there is to prayer. Acts 13, verse 1. In the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius, Manian, who'd been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now, in the Living Bible, it says, as they were worshiping the Lord. The King James Bible says they were ministering to the Lord, and the New Living Bible says they were worshiping the Lord. Because you see, ministering to the Lord is the prayer of worship and thanksgiving. When you begin to worship and thank God, you are ministering to the Lord. And it says, after having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them, they sent them on their way. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Now, here's my point. I want you to notice, as they were ministering to the Lord, and as they were worshiping the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke. The Holy Spirit manifested himself. This wasn't a one-way conversation. You see, in this kind of atmosphere, that's when God can do more for people. God can move more readily. He can move more mightily as we minister to him. That's why I encourage you not to miss the worship part of the service, because that's the time at the beginning of the service when we minister to God, when we worship him and we praise him. We're ministering to the Lord, and God responds to that. On a Thursday, every other Thursday, we have a night of prayer and worship led by Abel. And let me tell you, you know what they do? They minister to the Lord. They minister and worship the Lord. And every time, God responds. I'm sure God would speak to more Christians more often, like he did in Acts chapter 13, if Christians would take more time to minister to the Lord with worship. Because let me tell you, ministering to the Lord, it brings deliverance. When Paul and Silas were thrown into prison, they were put in the stocks, in the dungeon. And what happened as they ministered to the Lord? The Bible says in Acts 16, Paul and Silas, undaunted, they prayed in the middle of the night and they sang songs of praise to God while all the other prisoners listened to their worship. And suddenly a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison, and all at once every prison door flung open and the chains of all the prisoners came loose. Let me tell you, God's power is manifested when you begin to worship him and you begin to minister to the Lord. God's power is manifest in your life. Can you say amen? And I'm going to close with this. The third kind of prayer. So we've spoken about the prayer of fellowship. We've spoken about the prayer of worship and thanksgiving. And now I'm going to talk about the prayer of consecration, and we'll close with that, and we'll pick it up next week, and I'll talk to you next week about how to get whatever you need from God. That's next week. Okay? The prayer of consecration. Jesus prayed the prayer of consecration when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane the night that he was betrayed. In Luke chapter 22, he said, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Now, this is the prayer of consecration. It's where you dedicate yourself to follow God's will in your life. This is not how you pray when you are asking God to do something for you. That's the prayer of petition. We're going to talk about that next week. And you see, when you're asking God for something, you never add, "if it be thy will," to the end of your prayer. Now, some people, every time they pray, that's how they end every prayer. "If it be your will." But you see, that's how you pray when you pray the prayer of consecration. You see, "if" is a sign of doubt. When you're asking God for something, you never pray "if." When Jesus prayed for people to be healed, he never one time said, "if it be your will," because he knew that it was God's will to heal people. In fact, in Matthew chapter 8, in verse 2, suddenly a leper walked up to Jesus and threw himself down before him in worship. Notice that. He threw himself down in worship, and he said, "Lord, you have the power to heal me if you really want to." Now, most people believe that God has the power. The question is, they're not sure if he wants to. Jesus reached out his hand, and he touched the leper. And what did he say? "Of course I want to heal you. Be healed. Of course I want to heal you. Be healed." And instantly, all signs of leprosy disappeared. You see, you never pray, "if it be your will," when you're asking God to do something in your life. You need to know what God's will is before you ask him. Before you pray for something, you got to be sure that what you're asking him is according to the will of God. How do I know that? I know that because 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "And we are sure of this, that he will listen to us whenever we ask him for anything in line with his will." If you want to be sure that God listens to you when you pray, be sure what you're asking him is in line with his will. It says, if we really know that he is listening when we talk to him and make our request, then we can be sure that he will answer us. So the question is, how can I be sure that what I'm asking God for is according to his will? That's the $64,000 question. How can I be sure what I'm asking God for is according to his will? That's very easy to answer. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God. The Bible reveals God's will to our life. All you got to do is look in God's Word. His will is not a mystery. God's will is revealed in his word. The word of God reveals that it is the will of God to heal us. It is the will of God to prosper us. The scripture says in 3 John verse 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So you never have to wonder, does God want me healthy? Does God want me healed? Does God want me to prosper? Is that his will? Listen to me now. It is the will of God for you to be in health, and it is the will of God for you to prosper, even as your soul prospers. Thank God for Jerry. He was diagnosed with cancer. We prayed. We trusted God. He just got his 100% clean medical bill of health. 100% healthy. Praise God, Jerry. That's great news, isn't it? The prayer of consecration is how you pray when... The prayer of consecration is not how you pray when you're asking God to do something for you. It's a prayer that you pray when you're dedicating yourself to follow God's will for your life. I pray this prayer every day. Every day of my life, I say, Lord, not my will be done. Let your will be done in my life. I want to become what you've called me to be. I only want to do the things you've called me to be. I remember when I was 17 years old, 40 years ago. I'm so old. And I was standing in my parents' kitchen. I was still living at home. And I remember, clear as day, I said, Lord, let your will be done in my life, not my will. I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll be whatever you want me to be. Not my will. Your will be done. Can I tell you God heard that prayer? Can I tell you God answered that prayer? God took me from a little place called Eden Vale that you never even heard of and took me around the world and used me to touch thousands of people's lives. Because I said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. That's a prayer you pray to surrender your life to God. And can I tell you, God has the best plan for your life. Some people are almost afraid to pray, Lord, let your will be done in my life, because they think God's plan for your life is much better than your plan. But to experience God's plan for your life, you have to be willing to consecrate yourself to the Lord. That's really what it means to follow Jesus as the Lord of your life. Jesus said in Matthew 16, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. We live in a day where Christians today, so many, are wishy-washy, lukewarm, spineless wimps. Now, nobody here, of course. Nobody here. We live in a day where so many Christians have not consecrated themselves to do the will of God. They are still the Lord of their own life because they do what they want to do. They're only concerned about fulfilling their own desires. But God wants us to consecrate ourselves to Him where we are willing to follow Jesus and obey His will no matter what, no matter what the cost. Because let me tell you, sometimes following Jesus, it may mean you'll lose some friends. It may mean your family turn their back on you. It may mean being persecuted. Someone said, Pastor Steve, that can't be the gospel. Yes, it is the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, perhaps you think I've come to spread peace and calm on the earth, but my coming will bring conflict and division, not peace. He said, because of me, a son will turn against his father, a daughter against her mother, against her mother-in-law. Within your own families, you'll find enemies. But whoever loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not fit to be my disciple. And whoever comes to me must follow in my steps and be willing to share my cross and experience it as his own, or else he is not worthy of me. Those who cling to their lives will give up true life. But those who let go of their lives for my sake and surrender all to me will discover true life. Let me tell you, if you want to live true life, you've got to surrender all to Jesus. We must be willing to follow Jesus no matter what the cost. If they lined up your family and they said, deny Jesus or we'll shoot you, would you deny him? Would you deny him? You say, oh, Pastor Steve, God would never expect that from me. What are you talking about? There are Christians that face that every day of the world, all over the world. Just not in America yet. If you see the nations, there are Christians murdered every day. Every day. There are Christians imprisoned every week. There are churches burned down, torched, persecuted all the time. In Canada, right now, they're burning churches down in Canada, right now. What are you talking about? That could never happen. Listen, I don't want persecution, but I'm challenging your consecration to God. Are you a fair-weathered believer? Am I asking for too much of a commitment? Not when Jesus gave his all for us. if you will consecrate your life to God in every area, if you will lay everything on the altar, your family, your life, your job, your finances, if you will make Jesus the Lord in every area of your life, let me tell you, you will see God's blessing in every area of your life. But if Jesus isn't Lord of all, then He's not Lord at all. If Jesus is not Lord of all in your life, then He's not Lord at all. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's why it's so important to pray, Father, not my will. Let your will be done in my life. The Living Bible says, not all who sound religious are really godly people. They may refer to me as Lord, but they still won't get to heaven, for the decisive question is whether they obey my Father in heaven. That's the question. Have you come to your Gethsemane in life? Do you want God's will in your life? Will you obey His will no matter what the cost? Because it may cost you to obey God, but can I tell you, it'll cost you more not to. There are two aspects as I close today. There's two aspects to obeying God's will. Number one, the two aspects to obeying God's will for your life. Number one is to obey what the Word of God, the Bible. That's God's will for you. When you surrender to the Bible and do what God's Word says, you're surrendering to God's will. The second aspect of following God's will is obeying whatever God tells you in your heart. I encourage you to make a new consecration to God. In fact, I want to lead you in a prayer right now to consecrate your life to the Lord. Just lift your hand to heaven right now and say, Father, not my will, but let your will be done in my life. I consecrate myself to you today. I make a fresh dedication to follow your will. Lord, I will go wherever you want me to go. I will do whatever you want me to do. I will say whatever you want me to say, and I will be whatever you want me to be. Say, Lord, I'm not following my will. I'm following your will. Let your will be done in my life. Say, thank you, Lord, that you are guiding me. You are directing me down the best pathway for my life. Thank you, Lord, you've got good plans for my life. And I thank you that you are leading me into your plan and your destiny for my life, in the name of Jesus. Not my will be done, Lord. Let your will be done in my life. I surrender to you in Jesus' name. Can you say amen today? Come on, I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for every person here today. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal to them your will, your plan, your purpose for their life, Lord. I pray that every person, that your blessings would overflow in their life. I thank you, Father, that as we pray that you strengthen us, as we pray, tremendous power is released in our life. Thank you, Lord, that as we pray that you hear and you answer our prayers, Lord, in the name of Jesus. While you have your head bowed right now, and while you have your eyes closed right now, I just want to pray for anyone who's here this morning. If you are not sure where you stand with God today, if you are not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I'm asking you is, if you died today, are you absolutely certain that you would go to heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can be certain of that. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and the Lord. You can know that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. You can know that God is, the Lord is with you, protecting you. Let me tell you, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. because I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. Let me tell you, friend, there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. If you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray right now, I'm going to ask you just quickly to slip your hand up. Just lift up your hand. I'm looking for hands. Just lift it up high. If your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer that I'm about to pray right now. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. It's wonderful to see a number of hands being raised here today. God bless you. Everyone who lifted your hand, I want you to please say this prayer with me. The scripture says in Romans 10 verse 9, it's on the screen. It says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you become a Christian, is by believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confessing him to be Lord of your life. That's how you become a child of God. So say this with me. Everybody, I want everyone to say this prayer. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus, your son, to come to this earth, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin. Say this, say, Lord, I believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead. I believe Jesus is alive. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Save me, Lord. I confess, Jesus, you Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. Not my will. Let your will be done. From today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. Say this, say, Lord, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. Heaven is now my home. My name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Everyone, if you lifted your hand, God bless you today. Greatest decision you ever made in your life. I want to ask you, yes, give God thanks and praise. I want to ask you, if you lifted up your hand when we close the service about 5 minutes from now, please would you just remain seated. We have a gift we want to give you. We have our volunteers. Saw you lift your hand. They're going to come over to you. Just wait a couple of minutes. Praise the Lord. My wife is going to come and encourage us in our giving. I want to just say, I've just heard so many testimonies lately. I don't know if Troy is here today, but Troy asked me to come by on Friday. He works at, here, he gave it to me. He works at, Chevrolet. What's the Chevrolet? What's the Schumacher? Schumacher Volkswagen, VW. And he was top salesman last month. He sold 20 cars. He sold 3 cars in one day this month. I remember when Troy was working at Sears. I remember when he was selling appliances. I remember when he would write a tithe check, $30, $40, $50. And he was faithful. Every week, he was faithful. And he'd be in Sears and it would be dead, you know, no one there. And he'd be faithful to tithe that $30, $40, $50. I went by, he got a new job. He's selling cars. I went by and picked up his tithe check for $1,300 on Friday. Oh, you're right. Take that out again. But here's my point. Here's my point. Can I tell you that tithing works? Can I tell you right now, we've got an opportunity right now to prove God, to take God at his word. He said, put me to the test. Do you know that this offering is not just about us receiving to be able to pay the bills to have this church run? This right now is an opportunity for you to demonstrate your faith in God and obey God and see God do miracles in your life. That's what it's about.
So good, so good. I'm going to encourage you because Pastor Steve and I, like he said, this whole deal with our house and the condo, let me tell you, it's a walk of faith. And, you know, God comes through for you, and we've proved it over and over, but sometimes it's kind of at the last minute, because Ed Trout said this to us. He said, God cares more about your faith and your character than he does about your comfort. And so we trust him, but I want to just encourage you, because, you know, this church, we've come through this entire pandemic. And let me tell you that churches, people are selling church buildings. People are closing church doors because of lack, because of what's happened through this whole 2 years. And I want to tell you that God has been faithful and he's taken care of us. And you've been faithful and we appreciate that. And we came through this whole thing and we didn't have lack. And then we just, the last few weeks, it was just like kind of lagging behind. And we had to really use our faith. And this summertime as well, everybody went on vacation and forgot about church. But anyway, a number of people stepped up and were so generous this last week. Man, I'll tell you, but I want to say this, that as you come to give, this is how we encourage ourselves. We encourage ourselves with the Word of God. Because first of all, it's truth, so it tells us what to do. But there's always rewards that come from obeying God. So as you prepare to give today, just don't receive the offering yet. Just wait. I want to read these scriptures from Deuteronomy 28. And when you are feeling discouraged or pressurized financially, speak the Word of God over your life. It'll give you peace, and you'll put your faith in the right area, right? So this is what God said. He said, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commands which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." I walk the streets and I just say, "Father, I thank you. Your blessings come upon me and overtake me." Right? And he says, "Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God, blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, blessed shall you be when you go out." Come on, give me the next one. "The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out before you one way. They will flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand." I just go, "Thank you, Lord. You're just commanding a blessing on me, on my storehouses and anything I put my hand to," right? And then it says, "And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods." Say, "He's granting me plenty of goods. In the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you, the Lord will open his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations and you shall not borrow." Let me tell you, there are promises in the Word of God that are linked to our obedience. So just obey God. It's not about us trying to get you to give an offering. We want you to walk in everything that God has for you. Amen. So just hold that in your hand. If you're watching online, go ahead. You can just go to our website. It's so simple. There's various ways to give that come up on the screen. Go ahead and just see how you can access those. Father, I thank you for every man, every woman, every child in this place. I thank you for those that are new here, those that have been here a long time. Father, those that have plenty, those that are suffering lack, we thank you that your word is true. And Father, we believe you. So I pray for each and every one, Father, as they honor you with their tithes and with their offerings, as they bless the house of God. Thank you for increase that is poured upon them. Thank you for blessing the work of their hands. Thank you for opening your heavens and pouring out plenty upon their lives in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Go ahead, receive the offering. Thank you. Oh, Thursday night, come and pray with us, 7 till 8:30, right upstairs here. Thank you. And we're going to, don't go until we receive the offering. Thank you. Make it easier for our ushers. You're going to close us out with a song. Just wait till they've finished.